Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Sequel Unplugged. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Rohan. Rohan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Been a while since we've done one, but it's
I know.
it's exciting to have and kick these off again.
Yes, absolutely. It's fun.
Yep.
Well, welcome everyone.
So we've got quite a bit of stuff to talk about and some exciting things to talk about. And then everybody that's watching, feel free to tweet your questions to @SQLUnplugged or right there in the browser. We'll answer your questions. But let's get started with an announcement that just happened, a week or so ago, the GA of SQL Server 2016.
Yeah, it is actually pretty exciting. So the GA, the announcement came out, I think, on the 2nd of May.
Yep.
By a blog that we're going to GA SQL 16 on June 1st.
June 1st.
Extremely exciting.
Yeah, and the thing with that is you and I were chatting beforehand, and you mentioned that we already have a number of, so what's the adoption like, I guess is the question, because you were mentioning that there's a lot of customers already that are running production with 2016.
Absolutely. You know, it's actually interesting. One of the goals that we had when we started SQL Server 2016 about 2 years back, 2.5 years back in earnest, was this notion of like, how do we sort of build our engineering process in a way where we have this constant feedback coming in, not at these 6 month intervals through past CTPs the way we used to do it, but in a much more regular fashion.
Right.
So we settled on a month. I mean, it was pretty daunting from an engineering team and process and revamping our entire way we sort of do quality as an example. But I think that's one of the key reasons where we probably have somewhere between 20 and 25 customers who are already running in production by the time we go GA on June 1st, which is very exciting. It's never happened in the history of SQL Server before. You know, we sort of launch, we get feedback. I mean, through our TAP programs, we have customers, and usually by the time we release the product, maybe we have like a few, anywhere between like 1 and 3 in the past. But having like these number of customers running in production, it was interesting. We had like one of our big names who went into production without even telling us. So they called up support, and that's how we got to know. So that's the level of confidence people have in the quality of SQL Server 2016, which is actually pretty phenomenal. It's something that I feel the team has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, and you alluded to this whole the ability to get feedback. You know, the kind of the cloud first mentality.
Correct.
Has that really driven the quality of SQL Server of 2016 and really the adoption, like in the numbers you were talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about just take an example of one of the most critical features that we have in SQL Server, which is our availability stack, Hadron. The Hadron replication, and then that happens so many times every day. You're talking about like hundreds and thousands of times every day in SQL Azure, right? So think about how hardened that code base has become. That's just one example. There's, if you think about the number of queries, we get like close to, 30 to 50 billion queries per day across all our active databases in SQL Azure, exercising all kinds of features.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one of the reasons why the quality is, we feel really, really good about it. You don't need to wait till SP1. I mean, it's already there.
Yeah, good. So that's exciting. And I think, because we've got a lot of customers, like in the TAP Pro, like you said, the TAP program, these early adopters that are like, and we'll talk about some of the significant features here in a second from an adoption standpoint. But let's get to, like you and I were talking beforehand, some of the TPCH benchmarking, the number one position around this. How are we seeing from a benchmarking perspective the impact on this?
Yeah, and this is sort of like one of the key principles, and every SQL Server release has been like, significant improvements in performance and scale.
Yep.
So just the goal essentially over there being you just upgrade to SQL Server, the next version that's coming out, and then without changing your app, you need to start seeing a huge number of performance gains. I mean, Bob Doerr, who's one of our principal engineers, has sort of written tons of blogs in terms of, small to large improvements that we've done in performance, and I really encourage people to check out his blog. I think he's done a fantastic job writing those.
The name was?
Bob Doerr.
Bob Doerr, okay.
Yeah, he's pretty famous with the SQL community. He's been with SQL support for a very long time. Yeah, they know who he is. And one of the things is, and one of the ways you judge, perf and scale is by taking some of these standard benchmarks. TPCH is a good example of an analytics benchmark as an example. And SQL Server 2014 held the number one position for 10 terabytes and below non-clustered, like top three positions really. And then with SQL Server 2016, we now hold the number one position for TPCH at 30 terabytes non-clustered, which is huge.
Huge.
I mean, when you think about, and there's internal validations we are doing to go up to 100 terabytes as well. So I mean, this is an area where we fundamentally believe pushing the scale of SQL Server is going to really help with analytics.
Well, and this is and you alluded to this, right? This is significant in that just by installing SQL Server 2016, you're seeing, you know, our customers are seeing significant performance increase just through installing SQL Server, right?
Correct, correct, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get to some of the, what are the key technologies? Because there's a bucket list of awesome features in 2016, like Polybase and Operational Analytics and Always Encrypted and R Integration and JSON, and you know, the list goes on and on. What are the key, out of that list, what are the key features that you see making the biggest impact in our customers today?
You know, actually, like almost all of them that you listed, and you know, there's, we have in our TAP programs, and you know, the feedback that we're getting from customers who've already gone in production, who are trying out some of the things. I mean, across the board, the feature set is very impressive,
yeah,
the scenarios that we're supporting. One thing I'd like to specifically call out, you know, just given the, you've seen a ton of, positive sentiment around how when people are trying it out, is the R Services feature,
yep,
that's gone into SQL Server 2016. I mean, this was a very interesting bet. I mean, you know, this is very forward-looking in terms of, you know, if you start believing in the fact that getting a lot of computation,
right,
onto relational data is how you're going to add value to customers, this was the thinking that went in when we sort of acquired Revolution R. Because,
yeah,
we knew R is, you know, if you sort of project out in the future, is the language for a lot of data science.
Yep.
Right? So the thing was, data science is going to become a very, very key part of just enterprise IT in terms of deriving value out of data.
Yep.
So if you sort of put these things together, and you sort of see this happening in the industry as well, right? Even right now, where they actually try to pull data out of databases and then run, do analysis through their R scripts,
yep,
which is a very painful process. And I think,
yeah,
that was a fundamental problem we wanted to solve. And we have some very good example. Pros is an example, for ISV is an example, who's,
yep,
seen like significant improvements.
Yeah.
We have a lot of internal, like big name customers who've, in the financial industry specifically, you know, in the credit card industry,
yep,
side, I mean, without taking names, they've sort of, you know, they've been doing this analysis in the old fashioned way of pulling the data out.
Yeah.
And with SQL Server 2016, it's just been,
right,
they're just being blown away. And so it's in some sense, it's actually very, it's great to sort of hear that feedback, because that was the vision sort of going,
yep,
into sort of building, you know, our services. And this is just the beginning. I mean, our goal over here is to sort of get a lot more computation through the extensibility architecture that we've built for our.
Yeah, it's right in the engine almost itself.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So what is then the reaction of, because apparently a lot of traction with that, and I can see with along with R, I think we were talking earlier, a lot of these non-relational kind of technologies like Polybase.
Correct.
Are we starting to see a lot of excitement? What's the reaction around the, you know, R and Polybase and some of these things that get to the analytical components?
Yeah, you know, Polybase is actually sort of a very, very interesting feature, which is, I mean, if you fundamentally believe that, you know, there's this plethora of stores that are coming online, you know, you name your favorite NoSQL store.
Yeah,
every specific one is optimized for a certain kind of workload, a certain kind of data set. You know, obviously, you know, HDFS is a huge,
yep,
phenomenon that's happening because of the, you know, the analytics power that comes with Hadoop, and that's a real thing that we see in the industry. The challenge with all these environments is, okay, how do you sort of build an analytics platform that allows you to query data across these various,
yep,
data stores? That's really the vision of Polybase,
yeah,
which is you sort of, you know, you want to have, there's a lot of tooling that's built around T-SQL, right? There's a tooling that we have internally through what we're doing with Azure ML, Power BI,
yep,
you know, reporting services, et cetera. And then external tooling that's been built over the last, you know, 20, 27 years of SQL,
yeah,
Server. So how do you leverage that tooling to sort of increase the data volume that you're looking at? That's really the vision of Polybase. We start off with HDFS,
mm-hmm,
but you can imagine sort of that eventually sort of getting onto other stores as well. You can think about NoSQL. You know, we have our own DocumentDB, which is a fantastic,
yep,
NoSQL store.
Yeah.
You know, you can think about Mongo, Cassandra, all these popular ones being the targets of Polybase in the,
yeah,
future. Yeah.
And so what's the reaction, what's the sentiment that we're hearing from these kind of, introducing these features in SQL Server?
It is interesting. Initially, you know, if you take a look at the classic SQL Server folks on TAP that we've spoken with, the adoption was like, people were like, you know, it was a little low. It's just like, hey, is it the feature itself? Or,
yeah.
So a lot of it comes down to the set of, you know, like the problems that folks are facing in the industry. So I'd say the classic folks who focused on the relational database, initially we didn't see too much traction.
Yeah, can it be from the standpoint of, I can understand R, right? Because you're like, holy, you know, do I need to, you know, I'm a SQL guy. I write T-SQL.
Right.
Do I need now? Do I need to learn all the, you know, this whole new set of features and technologies to work with R?
Right. Yeah. And you know, so that was a big thing, right? So if you,
yeah,
think about, you know, data science was like this elite sort of thing that if you're a super, like a PhD in statistics, so you understood Python.
I didn't go to school that long to be a data
right?
science.
So again, the one of the plays is like, how do you commoditize that? Right. How do you sort of make sure that the value that comes with data science is you know, generally available to all the apps? So SQL's vision is that. Like SQL Server 2016 is the beginning of like, hey, you're an ISV, you build intelligent apps.
Yeah.
And you don't need to know, all you need to know is what the script says it does. I mean, there's so much of open source, R scripts is an example. You can go to Azure and get a bunch of these yourself, right? So the question is, once you understand what you want to do, you don't need to know the code. You just embed that into T-SQL and then you get it, right?
Which leads to, where do we see, I mean, with the first foray into, you know, all this analytics in SQL, where do we see R going, you know, in the next 2, 3, 5 years?
Our belief is that the adoption of R is going to significantly take off.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it is just the community that's behind it. I mean, it's open source. There's just a ton of traction in a lot of the young and emerging data science, you know, scientists, if you think.
Yep.
The traction that we've seen after the acquisition of Revolution R. So within the next 3 to 5 years, we believe the investment that we've made with R services is going to be a very significant play for us.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's good to hear. So if you have any questions about R or things like that, feel free to post those. We'll get to those. We'll get to questions in a minute. Let's change tracks for a minute and let's talk about our PaaS offering, right? There's a lot of momentum around Azure SQL Database and the whole Elastic Pool type of.
Correct.
What is going on there? Because it's been in kind of preview for quite a while. I mean, what's going on in that?
Yeah,
area?
You know, so Elastic Pools is a very, very unique offer. I mean, if you take a look at across all the cloud services that you have, you know, from various vendors, the top vendors, Google, Amazon, etc.
Yep.
Elastic Pools was, I'd say, is something very, very unique to what we have, and it sort of goes in. It's a technology that addresses a very interesting problem for a SaaS developer. You know, if you're a SaaS ISP that's building an app, typically there are these multi-tenant applications require lots and lots of databases, right? Which is depending on the number of. I mean, they have different models. The more simplistic ones are where they try to sort of isolate every tenant in a database. Some of them pack more. We are trying to create a point of view around this that you'll see shortly. But in any case, I think the fundamental problem is how do you sort of have this notion of I have lots and lots of databases to manage my tenants.
Yep.
Not all of them require peak resources at the same amount of time.
Yeah.
So I don't want to build, you know, buy for the peak, but I need the peak at some point per database, but I don't need it all the time. That's the fundamental problem, right?
Yeah.
So before we came up with the Elastic Pools, and you'll see, I mean, we are getting very, very close. Like you said, it's been in preview for a very long time, so you'll hear something very shortly as to when the GA
is. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. I won't say anything more than that right now, but you know, we had to design this very well. I think this is one of the features where we want to make sure that we got the customer feedback, right?
Yep.
So that's one of the reasons why we took a very long time. We already have hundreds of customers who are using Elastic Pools in production.
Right?
Yeah. We have some of our largest customers, you know, with the thousands of databases, they're not using singleton databases anymore. Because just the business value of this model, we believe resonates very, very well. And I mean, it's interesting because if you believe that SaaS ISVs are going to be dominant in, you know, that are building packaged apps to on-prem ISVs moving to SaaS, then this Elastic Pools is the model that we believe will be used very, very heavily in the future.
What have we learned from Elastic Pool, you know, building Elastic Pool and the SaaS model that we might be able to leverage in actually SQL Server?
You know, it is interesting. So there is fundamental aspects of multi-tenancy, which are very, very critical, which is, the business model is fine, the fact that I have this family plan kind of a database is, but it's very important for me to have the isolation.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so that's the thing, which is when you're building a multi-tenant app, even on-prem.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of work that we've done inside the core SQL Server engine to maintain that isolation. How do you make sure that, you know, like the journey that we had with resource pools, as an example, with SQL Server, we're going to take that to the next level with Elastic Pools. Like, how do you make sure that, you know, when you have multiple tenants coming in, they're isolated from a security standpoint, they're isolated from their experience is not impacted by a noisy neighbor. So there's a lot of deep thinking that's going into designing that, all the way from storage to core slicing to amount of memory to amount of sessions, buffer pool that gets split up. So there's a lot of what we build and will benefit SQL Server, definitely.
Awesome. That's good to know. And I think like you said, we did a Data Exposed show probably a month ago and interviewed someone. Oh, I can't remember the name. I'd have to look it up. They're at Copenhagen, Denmark, right?
Oh, okay.
And they're running this huge, you know, Elastic Pool customer running on production.
Oh, fantastic!
And they had great things to say about it. So I think there's great things going on there. All right. Another topic. This is an interesting one because I think it right out of the gate it was announced when a few months ago, I think, and right out of the gate just garnered a lot of attention. This is SQL Server on Linux.
Yep.
Right. I think I'm going to make a shirt that SQL loves Linux. Right. That just generated just a ton of excitement. Right. What are we seeing there in that space?
You know, it's actually been phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, we knew that, you know, the announcement of SQL Server on Linux is going to be huge for the industry. I mean, there was no question about it, right? Like, because the reality is, you know, on the Linux platform, when you start thinking about the tier ones and, you know, like, there's not much of a choice, really, right? I mean, you have, you know, like a big vendor and then there's not much of a choice, right? And so for us, we knew that would create, but the feedback has just blown our minds apart, right? We had like close to, I don't know, 14,000-15,000 people who've signed up for private preview. We had like requests from like countries you haven't heard of, right? Which is sort of amazing. And we're like, wow, we didn't know SQL Server was there.
Exactly.
You know, or people who cared about SQL Server. You know, we have, and you know, there's been very big interest from some of the large enterprises as well who love SQL Server, right? But they wanted this choice. They wanted, like, you know, they have standardized on Linux for whatever reason, and they wanted this choice. And so we've had some very, very engaging conversations with them.
Right.
You'd see the team is very geared towards doing monthly releases of SQL on Linux. So the same playbook we followed for SQL 16. And we understand that this is a space we need to learn more.
Yep.
Right? This is one of the things, and I think the team is doing a great job of reaching out to customers. I mean, they have like so many of them. You know, it really comes down to picking the ones that you can learn from the most. What environments to, you know, like when you run server software on Linux, you know, how does it get managed? How should it play in the ecosystem? Some of these things could be very different from Windows, right? So it's not just about running SQL Server on Linux, but that SQL Server that's running on Linux needs to play well with the manageability thing, as in tools and stuff like that.
In their ecosystem,
And those are the things that we need to learn. So that's one part. The other big part, piece of feedback we're getting is, hey, what's your tooling story? Which is very, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have, you know, multiple schools of thought, which is command line's huge for Linux.
Right.
You know, should you go big on Bash? You know, how do we think about PowerShell? So we're going through all those discussions right now. I mean, we have like our client tooling team having super detailed strategic conversations in terms of what's our bet.
Yep.
Because, you know, and again, this will be a very feedback oriented, you know, we're not going to sit in the room and decide everything that we know, but we're going to go engage with the developer community very, very early on.
Yep.
Our goal is to start running, you know, certain workloads in production as soon as we can and learn from them, because that's the best way to learn, really, right? And
we can develop internally all we want, but until the customer says, look, here's what I, you know, gives us the feedback.
And it's actually, I think, the fact that we're building this multi-plat SQL PAL layer is forcing a lot of very interesting choices, even in terms of componentizing the core engine. How do you think about that?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's been great.
What does this, or what should this say to basically everybody about our openness to support kind of the open, you know, the not just Microsoft platform, but
I think it's a great question. Look, I think Satya sort of made it very clear.
Yeah,
he's sort of set a very good vision, and you know, both Satya and Scott have been very, very open. You know, Joseph, given his background as well, I mean, these are the leaders of data and this thing, where we want to provide the choice to customers, right? Wherever they are, we want to meet them and go solve their problems wherever they are, and that's the new Microsoft, right? So we'll be the best on Windows. SQL Server running on Windows is always going to be great,
right?
But that doesn't mean that we're going to just close off the entire.
Yeah, it's not just look, you come to us, we'll go to you and support the stuff you.
Right? Absolutely, that's the thing. We'll meet you where you are,
and
we'll solve your problems.
Yeah, and I think that just screams a ton, you know, to our customers. Going, you know, what do you have? Well, that's beautiful. I love that. Okay, let's wrap up. We'll get to questions here. And one last comment, and then our topic, and then we'll get to questions is. SQL EW, right? This is, you know, that was another one where it was announced, like, bam, right? It just kind of exploded. What's going on, and how do we see the reaction to the SQL EW as well?
SQL EW, I think, is the feedback and the reaction has been amazing. I mean, it's you know, it's interesting where, you know, we had like, you know, there's been a ton of learning over there. We had a point of view in terms of, for example, the data volumes we are targeting,
yep.
but the rate at which data is growing. So one of the reasons why we've sort of taken a little longer in the preview was to harden ourselves for much higher data volumes that we had initially yeah. anticipated, right?
Yep.
But the feedback's been great, I think. Okay. You know, you have now, I think, I don't know if you've announced this, but SSMS now works against SQL DW. It's, oh, you know, it's sort of built out yeah. of the APS code base. So
okay.
that's actually very, very exciting. The yeah. team has done a ton of analysis in terms of what exists in the competition. You know, there's very, very detailed tracking happening in terms of, you know, like the reliability of queries and, you know, how do you scale them out, performance, consistency.
Yep.
So there's a lot of fundamental work being hardened right now, but I feel really good about where the team is.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of work going there. Let's go back to tooling really quick, because everything we've talked about, like just from SQL 16 and the new SSMS around that, plus now the Elastic, not sorry, SQL on Linux, things like that. What is, how are we driving, like you mentioned, you know, talking, you know, our tooling team, but what are they doing to talk to the open source to go, hey, how do we work with you,
right?
And in there, because, you know, we can, you know, we've been talking to SQL Server, now SQL Server on Linux type of thing, but, you know, are we saying, hey, you know, do we incorporate some of the, you know, open source into our tools, or do
Correct.
We, you know, what's the...
Yeah, so there's, I mean, that's a very, very good question. So in terms of from a reaching out standpoint, you know, obviously we have multiple channels. We have our own data camps that we run, as
yeah.
an example, right? And there we've sort of had a whole session with the open source developers. We're really reaching out to the folks who use Java, Node, Ruby on Rails, you know, not just the focus on the ADO.NET part, right? So there's a ton of learning happening. Actually, I feel pretty good in terms of the feedback that we're getting. Now the question is, okay, with, you know, how do you rationalize all this feedback,
yeah.
just given the time frame? What do you prioritize? Command line, as an example, is huge on the Linux platform, right? So,
yeah.
so and you know, how do we sort of significantly, you know, improve our story for command line tooling? Because I mean, your adoption is only going to be as good as your tooling is, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's, know, just, and that's is, just it, right?
Right. So for us, the tooling investments are super, super strategic.
Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't matter how good we do SQL on Linux, and if our tooling story isn't there,
it's not going to get adopted.
Yeah, because the developers are going to go, hey, it's too hard, right?
Correct.
Things like that.
Correct.
Okay. I think we lost our question window. Time to get to questions. Hold on a minute. Is it the mouse? Okay. Uno momento, and we'll get to. Yeah. I think there was one question about, let's get to
the
that.
Balkan set. Well.
Yeah, the resource governor for SQL database, right? Will Azure SQL database get some kind of resource governor, think low priority jobs, not eating up all the DTUs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so if you, there is already a resource governance built into SQL Azure. Right,
yeah.
And I think there's an interesting question in terms of how low can you go in terms of your container size. I believe that's the question, right? And there is a constant focus when we talk about like improving the efficiency in terms of
right.
The meta point here is, hey, how do you make sure that the system tasks that happen, you know, like things like backup or you're doing GeoDR or just stuff like that. And there is a team that's only focused on making sure that the footprint of that gets reduced. So you should see that. Like, this is an area of constant investment where...
Because we're always thinking about how do we improve the performance.
Correct.
Of,
how
to
improve
of
the performance, exactly.
Right.
So it comes down to, of all the DTUs that are there in the container, how do you make sure that maximum amount of those really go towards the user workload?
Yep.
But see, the interesting thing is some of the user workloads performance depends on how some of the system tasks are happening in the background as well. So it's an interesting trade-off.
Well, we can think about, we talked about elastic pools too. A lot of that is,
you know,
using elastic pools to get that kind of performance,
Correct.
Right? Because you're talking peak loads and things like that. All right.
Correct.
There's a question there around SQL Server DevTools. We talked about that a little bit, but
right.
Status include third party. So SQL Server, what are we doing with, that's a good one right there.
Yeah.
You know, SQL Server data tools, you know, Vulkan, Abimel.
Yeah, so one of the things you'll start seeing is from a tooling strategy standpoint, a big area that we're trying to push is towards extensibility.
Yep.
I mean, there's only so much that we can completely build ourselves, but how do you build now? There's always been some extensibility points, but you know, to be frank, that hasn't been that was never the focus really.
Yeah.
But as we start thinking about, like, it's, you know, it's becoming clear, not just with Helsinki, which is more recent, but even with SQL Azure and SQL Database in the cloud, that tooling matters a ton. The kind of developers that we are seeing come to these platforms are very, very different, really, from the people who sort of built on SQL, who knew everything about databases. Simplicity and things just working is a very critical part of how the platform of the future is going to succeed. So tooling then becomes important,
yeah,
right?
And that's a good point, because that allows some of our partners, like, you know, that build tools for SQL to actually build into and extend our into our tools.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Right, and so the extensibility part becomes interesting, and this is something that is being very hotly discussed right now.
Perfect. All right, how about a bulk insert T-SQL getting data from Azure Storage? Right now, only Windows.net has bulk insert.
So one thing I definitely recommend, you know, and this is interesting. A lot of people use Polybase. You know, there's a thing called Create Table as Select, where you can actually get a lot of data from Azure Storage
and bring it into SQL.
Bring it into SQL.
Yeah.
In fact, those two of the people who are trying to get it going to production with Polybase are using it for the data load scenario. So I hear you. I mean, you know, there's always an aspect of how can you sort of natively build this into T-SQL.
Yep.
But today with Polybase and SQL Server 2016, you can use CTAS to get data out of Azure Storage directly.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Aaron Nelson, how you doing, man? Good to hear from you. What do you think of the community effort to help Microsoft improve the SQL Server command line story via a self-organized Is it Trello board?
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I think community is going to play a SQL community, I mean, very near and dear to us.
Yeah.
It's going to play a very, very key part in how we build not just our command line SQL Server story. Frankly, I think we all need to work together and do Helsinki well. I mean, SQL on Linux, we all need to sort of go and learn. So just like I think, you know, what the SSMS team has done with, you know, the refactoring, you know, how they're very open with the community and the kind of changes. A lot of the feedback that's coming via Connect is driving the changes. I know how the team looks at their monthly updates. So absolutely the tooling, the community is going to be a very critical part in our command line tooling.
All right, so I think we are out of time and we're out of questions. Excellent show. We covered a lot, and I think it can be very exciting to see over the next, 6, 12, 18, 24 months, how we see just SQL. And then, you know, SQL on Linux as well. You know, we'll be talking a lot more about that, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Rohan, thanks for coming.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right,
we will see you next month. And everybody, we will see you next month.
Looking forward. Bye.